Good evening. Welcome to Beijing Diary. This is the evening port with the Ukraine update for May 5th, 2022. I want to start out talking a little bit about Mariupol. I understand this place where they are holed up was built during the Soviet era, and I heard one source say that it was designed to withstand a nuclear blast. So it's a very secure area, but very, very uncomfortable and unpleasant. There are people there, wounded soldiers there, who are becoming filled up with, their wounds are being filled with gangrene because they can't get the proper medical attention. And understand there's still some civilians there. So they're trying to negotiate a way to get them out. That's the immediate situation. But I want to talk about what I think is really a deeper problem in terms of America's approach to this. There seems to be a very, very widespread level of moral confusion. People just seem to have lost their perspective, and this moral confusion, this loss of focus, this lack of focus, is really coming more noticeable more on the right than on the left. It's quite disturbing. I was listening to I never can remember whether it's Paul Joseph Watson or Joseph Paul Watson, and just sort of. Same idea that with Trump toward the Kurds, throwing under the bus. And the other day I was listening to Tucker Carlson. He's talking about the poor Ukrainians, and then at the same time saying there's really nothing we can do about it, and we don't want to be at war with the Soviets, with the Russians. And, all of them are just vacuous. There seems to be a complete lack of moral focus. Laura Ingraham, the same thing. Candace Owens, I can't remember exactly what she tweeted. I responded to her. I said, you're historically challenged. You need to read some history. So there's a disturbing lack of moral focus. Now, as you probably have heard, Nancy Pelosi just went to Ukraine, and Tucker Carlson was saying they're not concerned about Ukrainians. They just want to get even with Putin because of the 2016 election. Well, I think that's a little unfair. They're Americans. They believe in the American religion of democracy, of self-determination, somewhat hypocritically because of that whole Mueller investigation wasn't very democratic. But the thing is that, I do think that they have a sincere support for self-determination, but the problem is that with the Democrats, there's also a lack of focus because they put a bill before Congress to give support to Ukraine, but it's filled up with stuff with having to do with Afghanistan. Just complete lack of focus. Now, in fairness to these people, this is not unusual in time of war. It's very common to have this sort of lack of focus or this sort of debate. And those of you who've lived through the Vietnam era saw this. And it was also very, very prevalent during the American Civil War among citizens and also among the military officers. And it's in the military in America. I was listening, I think, just yesterday, today, an interview with Sean Hannity with Tulsi Gabbard, a former congresswoman from Hawaii. Now, in fairness to her, that interview was in the end of March. She may have changed her position. But, she kept saying they can't win this war. They can't win this war. They can't win this war. And he was saying, so you don't want to help them? Well, she didn't want to come out and say, I don't want to help them, but they can't win this war. Now, what does that have to do with the military? Well, Tulsi Gabbard is a lieutenant colonel in the Army Reserve. Why is it that I'm hearing one military person after another saying, with this defeatist attitude, this is really disturbing? But what it reminded me of was during the Civil War, after the Battle of Gettysburg, General Meade had an opportunity to pursue Lee because Gettysburg was a great victory for them. But Meade makes this statement that we're going to drive those invaders from our soil. It's like, what? You know, he completely lost his focus. The invaders were the northerners, not the southerners. If all you want to do is drive the invaders from your soil, why are you fighting the war in the first place? The South never had any interest in invading the North. You see, he completely lost touch with the objective and the purpose for fighting for the war. The purpose was to preserve the Union. It was not to drive them out of the North. It was to drive them out of the South, to remove the Confederacy from power. And Lincoln was horrified. And he said, "You will pursue Lee, and if you fail, consider this your dismissal. If you succeed, you can destroy this." Well, he didn't succeed. He was too late. You know the number one mistake in warfare, failure to press your advantage. He completely lost focus. He thought it was, you know, he had a defensive, totally defensive mentality. But there's really no point in fighting a war if your only purpose is to keep them from invading the North. They never had any interest in invading the North. So there's a case where he completely lost focus. But in the Civil War, there were three men who had a very clear focus. Now, maybe more. Maybe some officers that, you know, we don't hear a lot about. But three particularly. The first was Abraham Lincoln himself. He never lost his focus. Now, there was a change that took place in Lincoln's thinking, because he came to believe that if he wanted God to help him with what was important to him, which is the preservation of the Union, he had to pay attention to what was important to God, what he believed to be God's priority, which is freeing the slaves. And I talked about that in my lecture on the American Civil War. So I won't go into it in great detail. But the point is, he never lost his focus. He was focused on preserving the Union. The second one was Ulysses Grant. Absolutely relentless. Now, Ulysses Grant is interesting because he has the distinction of having failed at absolutely everything he did except leading an army in battle. He was selling firewood in the streets of St. Louis before the Civil War to keep from starving. He failed at everything he did except leading an army in battle. He was very, very successful because he was intensely focused. Winston Churchill said, "In war, resolution; in defeat, defiance; in victory, magnanimity; and in peace, goodwill." And Grant was resolution with a capital R. And the third one was William T. Sherman. William T. Sherman, you remember, went to the South and destroyed the materiel of war, which really meant burning fields and destroying. Well, there's at least a charge that he destroyed food supplies. Now, he denies burning Atlanta, but he did a lot of destruction. But his focus, whether or not you agree with all his methods, his focus was absolutely clear. He didn't hate the South. He loved the South. He was teaching in the South before the Civil War, but he hated the Confederacy. Those three never lost their focus. But when I look around today, I'm like, who has their head on straight in this conflict? This is very profoundly disturbing, and it's an indication of the moral decline in American society. America is clearly a civilization in decline. The bottom line is that the Americans are losers. You remember the last time a country surrendered to America? It was on the battleship Missouri after World War II. Now, there are two exceptions to my statement. One is Grenada, where an elephant stepped on an ant, but Reagan took very decisive action, and I believe that the action that Reagan took in Grenada should be an example for how we should be dealing with Ukraine. And the other is ISIS, where Trump took decisive action. I don't know if you'd really call it a surrender, but you'd have to say it was a victory, at least temporarily. Whether it's going to be a victory in the long term, we'll have to wait and see. But other than that, you know, the Americans can't win wars to save their lives. They can win football games. They're good at that. Look at Vietnam. And, you know, if you, I don't know if you've seen the little thing with Biden talking about the Vietnam War. You know, he was using that as an example when he wanted to get out of Afghanistan. He said Nixon and Kissinger, they got away with it. They got away with it. Well, in the first place, he has a short memory. It wasn't Nixon and Kissinger. It was Nixon and Ford. It was Kissinger and Ford. But they wanted to pursue and gain back the victory, but the Democrats in Congress absolutely refused to appropriate the funds. And so the Americans escaped from Vietnam from the roof of the embassy, ran from Vietnam with their tails between their legs. Bitter, bitter defeat. Korea, maybe not necessarily defeat, but certainly not a victory. The Americans can't win wars. There's just a lack of resolve. You know, we can fight wars. Americans can fight wars, but they can't win them. It's a very, very distressing to see this complete lack of. I don't know. What is the solution? There's America's and as Carl Sandburg said, the Americans, it's one thing to lose track of where you're going, but there's no hope for you if you forget where you came from. And I think that's the big, big moral crisis that America faces. Now, some people say that Ukraine is corrupt. Well, there's corruption in Ukraine, but do you think there's more corruption in Ukraine than in Russia? And there's corruption in America, too. Now, I want to deal with corruption, but I want to talk about that separately. Certainly there is corruption, but there's many, many decent people in Ukraine who don't like corruption any more than anyone else. They don't like that going on in their country. Is that an excuse for us not to help them? Well, I'll be coming back to this issue later. I want to talk about a couple other things going on in the news. Mel sent me a link for that movie, 2,000 Mules. I haven't seen it, but I'm very curious. And I did hear one. There's some argument about some. One source was saying that they had configured using the cell phone data and assuming that if your cell phone showed you that you passed one of those pickup points, that you must be a mule. So I'm just waiting to see how that comes out. I haven't seen the movie though. But I think it's going to get a lot of attention. But I'll talk more about that when I know a little bit more about it. I learned a new word last week. Cry bully. I've never heard that word before. And I thought maybe it was just recently invented, but I guess it comes from the 90s. The lady's name is Taylor Lorenz. And the website, or it's a Twitter account called Libs of TikTok. And what this lady does, she takes the tweets that people have put out, and a year ago or whenever in the past, and then compares it with their present tweet and shows the contradiction. They're directly contradictory. So what Washington Post did, they outed her, providing her identity. And they deny giving her address, but they did have her listed her workplace or something that had her either her address or her phone number. But the point is, why would they do that? That's the real question. Why would you go after someone who's telling the truth? Now, if she was fabricating those tweets, that would be different. But if someone shows up hypocrisy among the media or among prominent people, we should not be attacking them. We should be glad that they're pointing out the inconsistency. This is my problem with the Washington Post. Their slogan is democracy dies in the darkness, but they've taken that slogan and stood it on its head. You know, we hate democracy, so in order to destroy democracy, we have to have darkness. Why do you want to suppress the truth? But the term cry bully comes from the fact that Taylor Lorenz, you've probably seen this video where shedding crocodile tears about people bullying her on the internet. And that's literally what she does for a living. So, hypocrisy reigns supreme. You know, those the two that I think of are most prominent examples of the Washington Post and CNN, which are just a far cry from what they really started out as. I remember Ben Bradlee, you know, I had a lot of respect for Ben Bradlee. Not saying I'd agree with everything, but I had a high regard for him. I think he was a principled man. And the same thing I had with CNN. I remember when CNN started and the kind of excitement it created because it was the first 24-hour news network. It's then they're bought out by these other entities. I'm not sure who bought CNN, but Washington Post was purchased by Jeff Bezos. And then they take these prominent, respected news outlets and turn them into the National Enquirer. Really, really, really disgusting. So anyway, keep an eye on that. But why would you want to punish someone for speaking the truth? If you don't like what someone like that lady is doing, well, make one that says conservatives of TikTok or something, you know. So, but if you don't do that, then what you're saying is, well, the conservatives are too honest. We can't do that. So we have to punish her for telling the truth. This is really, really dishonorable. Why would Taylor Renz do that? Because she's a wicked person. There is no virtue in punishing someone for telling the truth. There's no virtue in that. That's disgusting. Okay, well, I'll leave that one alone for now, but I will be coming back to it, believe you me. In the who'd have thought it category, I just heard today that Sinn Féin is poised to be the most prominent party in the Northern Ireland Parliament. I think it's called the Parliament. Anyway, that's really something. You know, I never could have imagined that back in, what was it, the late 60s and 70s when the conflict was going on in Northern Ireland. Now, I don't want to go into the whole history of it, but there's really a very good possibility that there could be a referendum on Northern Ireland being unified with Ireland. That would just be extraordinary. You know, during the late 60s and 70s, there was just constant conflict in Northern Ireland, what the Brits refer to as the Troubles. And Belfast was a war zone. There was one story about a guy who went to America, and anyway, the way the story goes, he's traveling through America, and people are saying, "Oh boy, that's really dangerous where you live. You get shot at all the time." And this guy was becoming a little annoyed, and he said, "No, it's not that bad. It's blown way out of proportion." And I'm saying, "Wow, from what we're hearing on the news, it's really dangerous there." And he said, "Yeah, there's some problems, but we basically get along. It's really not that bad." And so then somebody says, "Well, what do you do for a living?" He said, "Oh, I'm a tail gunner on a garbage truck." It really was terrible. During the late 60s, and I think it was late 60s and early 70s. But the Irish Republican Army swore off violence and said they wanted to be peaceful, and Sinn Féin was known as the political arm of the Irish Republican Army, and now they're posed to be the most prominent, the largest party in the Parliament. So that would be very, very interesting. If I would like to see it, actually. I would like to see Northern Ireland and Ireland reunified. I think that would be good. Edmund Burke is often quoted as saying, I don't know if he actually said this or not, but he's often quoted as saying, "All that is necessary for evil to triumph is that good men do nothing." Ukraine is an independent nation. They gave up their nuclear weapons with the promise that they would not be harmed and that their sovereignty would be protected. Now they have been attacked by an aggressive nation, by Russia. there's simply no justification for just turning our backs on that suffering. It's extremely distressing to see the gutlessness of the Americans scared of Russia. Now, the thing is, if the Americans do not want to enforce a no-fly zone, then at least they should get the planes to Ukraine so that they can enforce their own no-fly zone. But it's really heartening to see the way the congressman? I think there's a guy from Wyoming. Can't remember his name now. He said we used to think that Russia had the second most powerful army in the world. Now we find that they have the second most powerful army in Ukraine. But the way the Ukrainians have fought off the Russians is really heartening. It's really encouraging to see that kind of courage and that kind of fortitude. We need to pray for Ukraine, and we should be backing them up. We should be supporting them and giving them what they need to do to fight this war and to win. Okay, you guys, gotta go. Thanks for being with us, and we'll see you next time. This podcast is hosted online at beijingdiary.podbean.com. That's beijingdiary.podbean.com.